Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Third hour on this Football Friday. We're going to roll into a little Georgia Bama here. Sharp Tierney, revving up the engine. He's going to make his appearance this hour as well. All good. Tiki and Tierney, week 6. NFL whip round. It's all coming your way. And right now, we're still at our studios, as always. The Rocket Mortgage Studio. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. All right, so hopefully everybody's doing well. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Of course, radio.com, Apple iTunes, podcast there, Twitter, as I said. And a million ways to keep up. YouTube, of course, youtube.com/Tiki and Tierney. So Teak is getting ready to hop a flight in about an hour and a half or so and head a little south for what is the marquee game of the year, Georgia and Alabama. Yes, it's going to be different without Nick Saban. He can't have any interaction with the team up until 90 minutes before kickoff.
Yep. Even though it sounds like they're trying to find a way around it.
But they can't, though. But you see, there's no way that's happening.
It would me, too.
You know, I would rather watch the game with Nick coaching, but a rule's a rule. A protocol is a protocol. You can't coach.
Yeah, but they're saying now that if he tests positive for 3 straight days.
You mean negative?
Not negative. If he tests negative for 3 straight days, okay. then he's asymptomatic, then he's cleared and he could potentially be on the sideline.
But is that in accord with the protocol that was put forth before the start of the season? Or is that like, let's just insert
it's just weird.
The Hall of Fame coach?
Yeah, it's interesting, BT, you ask that because I don't know. Because when Mike Norvell, and we remember we talked about this 3 weeks ago or so, the Florida State Miami game that he missed, I never heard that. It never came up. I'm not sure if this was something that was just inserted into the rule book now because Nick Saban, the number 2 team in the country right now, is potentially going to miss a game. And it's all right, well, if you test negative for 3 straight days, not within 24-hour periods, then guess what? You can coach. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's going to happen because I don't know if he's tested negative. I mean, they haven't given any results. But they have said, and this is from the athletic department over at Alabama, they have said that he is under the care of their physician and that he looks great and he's asymptomatic, but they haven't revealed a negative test. So, again, okay. it feels like it just kind of got inserted this week because they don't want Nick Saban to miss this game. But, I mean, that's going to be a big storyline.
I think it's the storyline, at least, to start the game.
Yeah, I mean, well, the game is the storyline.
Yeah, but you got to start the broadcast with Nick Saban not being there.
Yeah,
that's going to be the primary setup.
And it's hard to, like, it's hard to predict what's going to happen. Like, what Steve Sarkisian is the offensive coordinator. He is the, this game's head coach. I'm not even say interim, but it is what it is. He's the fill-in head coach for this game. And he's got, obviously, experience because he was head coach at USC and, you know, had some success. He's been a really good offensive coordinator. He kind of has been one of the architects, along with Lane Kiffin, of making Alabama's offense modern. Like, for a long time. They were old school.
It was rough.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of their quarterback who
like
won.
Greg McElroy?
No, it was like, after him.
You mean right after that?
Yeah, he won a national championship, and I want to say he threw for under 2,000 yards in the season. He's in the NFL. I can't remember. I can't think of his name now. It's slipping my mind. But at that point, it was all about we're going to run the ball 40 times a game and play great defense. Mm-hmm. Instead, now you look at this Alabama offense. It's so wide open. I mean, they're spread all the way across the field. Their running backs catch the ball out of the backfield, and it feels modern. And a lot of that is because of Steve Sarkisian, who is filling in. The challenge, though, is that Steve Sarkisian has only had to worry about being the offensive coordinator, about calling the plays. AJ McCarron, that's what I was thinking of, BT.
McCarron. Jeez.
Yeah. And so,
how can you forget Brent Musburger?
Exactly, exactly. Talking about his girl, now his wife.
Brent.
Exactly. But, you know, back in the A.J. McCarron days, they were old school, man. It's kind of hard to watch them offensively. Mm-hmm. Now it's really fun to watch them offensively. But Steve Sarkisian now has the added task of making in-game decisions because the only communication that's allowed is from the booth down to the sideline.
Correct.
That includes electronic communication.
Yeah.
So, I mean, could he have his iWatch and be sneaking, you know, info from his iWatch?
I don't think he'd risk that.
No, I don't think he would.
But what coach, aside from adhering to the ethical whatever, like, why wouldn't you try? I mean, it's so easy to do it. They're not going to say, give me your phone and let me check it.
True, but think about what. Think about how
he said
out
it to the ball boy.
True, but think about how out of touch you are if you're not on a sideline. You know what I mean? Like you're not feeling the moment. You're not feeling. Yeah. You know, the energy of your team. You can't sense the ebb and flow of the game. Watching it on TV is so different, and that's where obviously Nick Saban is going to have to watch this is on his TV. If you're making decisions from afar, I think almost if you're Steve Sarkisian and you're tasked with making that decision live, you're more likely to second guess him because he's like, you're armchair quarterback right now. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't know what's going on. You don't know the emotional lift that the team might need right now. I know it's your team, but you're not here. And so, like, how Steve Sarkisian, Coach Sarkisian, deals with that is going to be, I think, you know, not to think like Saban and think like himself is going to be one of the hardest things he's going to have to deal with this weekend.
Yeah, but if he thinks like himself, he's not Saban.
I know.
So is that a good thing for the Alabama team? Don't you want to kind of mirror what you think Nick would do so it's not foreign when you communicate that to the guys?
True, but, I mean, this team is pretty veteran, especially, you know, they return their entire offensive line. I think there's one new starter on their offensive line. They have this veteran nature to their offense, and the receiving corps, as we've talked about many times on the show, BT, they're as dynamic as there are. Mac Jones is very poised.
Yeah. Running back's been there for a while.
Yep, Najee Harris has been there forever, and John Robinson is even. I think he's a senior, so he's there too. So they're Forstall, they're tight end. They're all like really good, and they've been there for a couple of years. So you're not worried about how do I get this young man ready to play. They know what it takes, right? So.
Yeah.
The challenge for Alabama this year has been defensively. They're one of the worst in the SEC. And
Ole Miss carved them up.
That's right. And so the good thing, if you're a Bama fan, is that Georgia's not explosive like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have some good players, but they're not explosive. Stetson Bennett, who's one of the great stories in college football this year, he's 5'11", you know, 192 pounds, 95 pounds.
Hey, Doug Flutie was small too.
I know, but Doug Flutie had like this athleticism ridiculous. You know what I mean? Stetson Bennett's not that. He's a great game manager for them, and he doesn't make any mistakes. And so they rely on running the football and playing defense, which they have one of the best in football right now. Second rated scoring defense, and maybe it was fifth rated and second overall, but they have a great defense down at Georgia. So you're gonna have the clashes without Nick Saban.
Yeah.
But I think the Alabama Crimson Tide aren't as disadvantaged as it may seem because they're so veteran, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
And they I don't want to say the police themselves, but on game day, they know what's expected. And when you've been around a couple of years in a kind of program like that, you generally carry it out and you do what you think your coach would want, and you certainly play with integrity. I understand that. By the way, you know, Saban's got a perfect record against his assistants, former assistants. This game will count on his record.
Yeah, 21-0, right?
Yeah, 20 or 21.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Yeah.
Never lost a game to an assistant. So it's going on the record, though. That seems a little unfair. He's not coaching.
It does. It definitely is unfair. There's a good chance Georgia pulls this upset just simply because Alabama. You know, they haven't been used to defenses that are going to give them this much resistance.
LSU's battled them over the years. The game a couple of years ago, what was it, like 6-3 in Baton Rouge when Fournette was still there.
That's right.
It was.
It's been a while.
It's been a couple of years, but no, I got it. It was a couple of years ago.
Georgia hasn't. I mean, I think I read the stat, and I might be wrong on the year, but it's been, I think it's almost been three seasons since Georgia's given up. It's two and change seasons since Georgia's given up a rushing touchdown.
Is that true?
Yeah, which just tells you how dominant they've been. Now, they've given up touchdowns, obviously.
No, I got you.
But they haven't given up a rushing touchdown in a long time.
I got a question for you, because we're kind of focusing on, all right, what's Alabama going to be without Saban's presence, right? Provided he doesn't coach. But from Georgia's point of view, offensive deficiencies, well-known. Mm-hmm. Defensive, you know, superpowers, well-known. Do you try from an off defense, you do what you do.
Yeah.
But from an offensive point of view, do you maybe
like try to get creative?
Like step out of character, even though Sarkisian's not coaching Alabama's defense. I understand that, but that's Alabama's weak point.
Yeah.
And just to see if they're maybe not as buttoned up as they would be with Nick there all week in person, do you try something? I don't want to say something wacky. I'm not saying like a double reverse or a flea flick or something wacky, but do you do things that are a little out of your comfort zone to start to see how they react and how buttoned up they are without Nick?
You know what? I would.
So would I.
I absolutely.
That's why
would.
I'm asking. I would too.
I would try something unconventional. Yep. I would, you know, do some deep routes. You know, run some goes just to see, right? At least to make Alabama's defense think about it. Because if you watch tape, if you go look at what you know, Ole Miss did to Alabama, it wasn't complicated. You know what I mean? It was let's find ways to confuse them with some motion, just in Lane Kiffin is good for this. Let's confuse them with a little bit of motion and make them think we're doing one thing, and then slip our tight end nothing complicated, no like complex routes. Let's just slip our tight end into the middle of the field. He's going to be open or covered man to man, and throw him the football and see what happens. And Ole Miss, you know, had a field day with doing stuff like that. So if I'm Georgia and I'm Kirby Smart, and I know their talent level. Remember we talked to,
Aaron Murray.
Aaron Murray. We talked to Aaron Murray.
How did I know that you were trying to spit that? You didn't give me many clues
because you're in my mind. That's why.
Because I listened to
that's
you,
right?
And I know you.
But when we were talking to Aaron Murray, you know, he was saying, "Look, this team isn't full of like superstar skill position players."
He did say that.
But they're talented enough that if you can confuse them offensively, I mean, Alabama's defense, then you can make some big plays. So if I'm Kirby Smart, I absolutely do that. You have to, right? Just because you saw it on tape. You know that it's available. You just got to be able to execute it yourself.
So when we get past this game, and by no means are we trying to, you know, plow through this and get to something else, but, you know, Tiki's doing a lot of games, and he's going to be down there this weekend, obviously. As I mentioned a few times, he's flying out tonight. After this game, which is the preeminent game so far of the season.
Yeah.
The next game we have circled of this level is it Clemson Notre Dame, or is there another one that I'm missing?
National prominence,
like the one one that's going to really impact a lot, if not everything.
Yeah, it's probably anything? That one. I'm trying to think if there's any more in the SEC, because I mean I would have said in the SEC it was Florida LSU, but they have both lost.
Yep.
And that game is delayed and likely not happening till right before the SEC championship game. So it's definitely going to be, I think, Clemson and Notre Dame. And the question will be, does Notre Dame have a chance against Clemson? I thought Miami had not a chance to win, but to keep it decent, they got blown out of the water. Clemson just feels like they're in a level above everyone else. And they're not going to get enough resistance in the ACC, except for maybe in the ACC championship. I can't remember if they played North Carolina this season in the regular season, because the ACC's schedule is flipped a little bit. It's not based on a division.
It's not coastal. No, I got you.
It's just you have your schedule, and then the top two teams play. Maybe North Carolina can run a little bit with Clemson. But yeah, I think the next big one would be Notre Dame. Clemson.
By the way, Teague, no, I would agree with that. And I just maybe have a little more intel on it. We were trying to project, you know, why is there this discussion? Nick Saban keeps saying he feels good, which is great. And he's trying to angle the comeback to coach. So let's see. The CDC says that if he remains asymptomatic, which he clearly is now, he can be back in 10 days. if there's no complications or symptoms, that would theoretically put Saban back on the field October 24 against Tennessee.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so he's not.
It just seems like there's a lot of noise and a lot of unnecessary, like, almost like life to the possibility of him coaching. Based on what I just read, there's no way he can coach.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
I just wanted to circle back to that because we weren't fully sure. Like, was it just inserted midseason? But what I read, and I don't know, it seems pretty official. It's part of an article on CBSSports.com. So I know you're calling the game,
yeah.
All right? So I'm not going to ask you who you think is going to win.
I'm actually calling it with my buddy TJ Reeves. He's already down there. He just tweeted this. If Nick Saban is negative Saturday for COVID-19,
yeah,
and not coaching the... Oh, no, he's saying, oh, okay, gotcha. I thought he was being serious because there's a WWE or WWF.
WWE.
WWE Undertaker tunnel coming, something going out on down what? In Atlanta. Yeah, the door. He's in Georgia right now because he's flying through Atlanta.
Gotcha.
He's confusing me. I thought he was like, wait, Nick Saban's coaching?
Yeah, that's a convoluted tweet when you go from Saban to
Undertaker. He's like, if Saban's not coaching, have him come out of the Undertaker tunnel in Georgia.
Gotcha, when he pops up in the ring. I gotcha.
Exactly.
I got it. Okay, I got it. That's actually a pretty good tweet.
Now, it is a good tweet.
I gotcha. I just I couldn't connect the words and the visual, but you know what I can connect? Hang on a second. What we got? Hold on. Yo. Yeah, it's almost time. I got you. Relax. Yeah, we won last week. Yeah. Yeah, we're up on a season always. All right. I'll hit you in a few minutes. All right, thanks. All right, man.
Is that your boy?
Yeah, that's the people in the desert. They wanted to make sure I'm feeling pretty good. You know I'm feeling good. Get those pens and papers. Get them up. We got a little sharp tyranny. You know what, though? Let me at least finish the thought, Teague. I'm not going to, because I start to say, and then you tell me about your partner. I'm not going to ask you to give me a prediction. Do you think it's going to be a one-score game? Don't even tell me who you think is going to win.
Yeah,
you think it's going to be one score either way?
I think it's going to be tight.
Oh,
I think it is.
Great.
This Georgia defense is great.
Okay. All right. So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll obviously hit that on Monday, and we'll be watching on Saturday night on CBS. But time for a little sharp tyranny. We'll hit that next right here on Tiki and Tyranny. Get you some winners. 10 games. I got 3 college and 7 pro this week. So we're going to hit you with the sharp stuff next. Tiki and Tyranny, CBS Sports Radio.
Do you need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, and restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Their professional parts people even test your battery free of charge when you visit an O'Reilly Auto Parts store. If your battery needs to be replaced, they can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like SuperStart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store and talk to one of their professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227 here on Tiki and Tierney, brought to you by Geico. This is where I get really weird in the show. Something just takes over me, Tiki. I get a little freaky. I'm fired up. Time to win games. Want to know what's really scary?
What's that?
Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. All right, we've got Teak and Tierney's Week 6 NFL whip around coming up in a little bit, but Teak, you know what time it is. I mean, come on. It is time to do what we do on this show as well as anybody. I won't say better because I want to sound somewhat humbled. As well as anybody in the country. You know, I'm checking on my boy Cowherd, who I like. He's getting his brains beat in this year. Every week he's 1-4. I check on the Blazing 5. He's getting stomped. He'll be the first to tell you. So we are winning, and we're winning a lot, but we always try to straddle that line of being confident for being a little humble to the betting gods, because you never know what it's going to turn. With that being said, let's dig in. I think I got a stack of winners. Let's hit it. Time to get loose. Let's go.
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen.
Every show makes picks, but this show actually makes picks that'll put money in your pocket. And we've got got nearly 10 years of evidence to back it up. Buckle in and get your wallets ready as BT pops on his shades and becomes Sharp Tierney.
So you know what happens, T? Listen, you know, you're married. You know the deal. Usually when you win some money, you take care of mama, right?
Yeah.
Which I did. It was just our 10th anniversary. But things are going well, so I said, I'm taking care of daddy.
Well, you got like 3 carrots in there?
About 2.5, a little nugget. I had to call my guy down to the Diamond Strip. I said, Herb, what do you got for me, man? Give me your best piece of ice. I got to get rolling. All right, so last, I told you, every time I have a winning week, we add a new prop, hence the earring. And yeah, I haven't worn an earring since college, maybe 2 years after college, but it's been a long time. All right, last week, 6-4 winners. This season, 28-21 and 1. Which is 57%. You'll take it an all-time 399, 29, and 28. That's a lot of picks. That's a healthy 55-plus percent. I got to ask the question, do we have a sponsor yet? Did I stutter? Do we have a sponsor yet, Barber? I need to know the answer to that, Teak. Do we have a sponsor?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, well, listen. As I told you the first week, and I'm going to tell you every week before, and we're getting close to this now.
Gets more expensive.
You're not going to be able to afford it because the more I win, the more you lose if you're thinking about hopping in and actually getting behind this awesome segment and sponsoring it. So, and you should because the winners flow. And hopefully they start flowing with this first win. Pitt, all right, I'm going to go Pitt. They're getting 13.5 points against D-Cells Miami. What happened to the U? Upside down. Miami's not ready for primetime. We knew that. What else do we know about Miami? We also know that historically, the Canes tend to fall a little flat after a big game, win or lose on the big stage. They start feeling that Miami love. Oh, Miami, we're back. Michael Irvin, we're back. Warren Sapp, we're back. You're not back. You have a quarterback that can't throw against good teams, so you're not back. So what I anticipate is that Pitt, I'm taking the 13.5 points. I love it. It's almost 2 touchdowns. Think about this, Teak. They had a 1-point loss to a better-than-expected North Carolina State team, number one. They lost last week, and I had Boston College plus 6, if you recall. They lost by 1 point at Boston College. They've had a couple of heartbreakers here. They're 3-2. They're certainly competent. I think on some levels, they're more than formidable. I think there's just a little early malaise that kind of infiltrates Miami. And I think that not that they won't recover and win. They probably will win. I'll take the 13 and a hook. Give me the Pitt Panthers win number one of the week. I like Pitt. All right. Get them up. Imagine if this guy showed up to West Point. Imagine if somebody showed up to West Point looking like I look like right now. Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Colonel. I'm here for work. I'm here for duty. Well, that's not going to happen. But I am going to ride. And you listen to this segment, you know my affinity for Army. I went to Marist, not far, Hudson Valley, the Black Knights of the Hudson Valley. Army's also a pretty damn good football team. And they have been for the last couple of years. They're playing at UT San Antonio. And they're not terrible. They're 3-2. I don't even know what their nickname. I think their colors are blue and orange. I don't even know their nickname. I know almost every nickname. I don't even know their nickname. But Army is 4-1, and Army's laying 7.5. Now, they played them last year. They whacked them 31-13. Army's a team that now, you know, they're never going to out-athlete you. They're always going to out-scheme you. But what has happened, Tiki, and I know that you see this with your football eyes, they've gotten better athletes to match the scheme. Like, I don't know how they're bringing some of these players in. Scheme's always been there. But if you have scheme and you have no athletes, you can't win. But the scheme remains there. And I feel like they've upped their athleticism. I'm going to take Army. I'm going to lay the 7.5. And I'm going to take Army to straight up win, obviously, and win going away and do what they did last year when they won 31-13. Give me the Black Knights. Boom. Bring it up. Where is it? Yes, Army. Clemson. I haven't taken many unders. I've taken a few overs. Clemson's at Georgia Tech. Now, the over-under is 63.5. What am I going to do? Teak, what do you think I'm going to do here? Over-under, Clemson, Georgia Tech. We know what happened Clemson last week.
You got to go over, right?
I'm going under. That's why I'm sitting here, and that's why you're sitting there. That's also why you're sitting in the game, in the booth calling the game this weekend, and I'm not. But pertaining to gambling, that's why this segment has my name on it. I'm going under, and let me tell you why. Listen, Clemson, they're on autopilot. They'll flex early. They'll jump on them early. And then I think what's going to happen is they'll throttle back a little bit. I don't think that they need to show too much. Now, Georgia Tech, not terrible. They beat Florida State by 3. Georgia Tech did. They're 2-2 on the season. They got crushed by Syracuse, which is not good for anybody's resume. I'm going to take under 63.5 in the neighborhood. I think a Smurf with this damn thing slipping off my bald head. There's no hair. There's nothing. There's no traction on slipping up. I'm going to take the under because I think that Clemson wins 50-10, 50-13. Wow, if it's 50-13, I'd win by a half a point. Give me the under, 63.5, Clemson at Georgia Tech. Let's go. All right, Teak, you ready for some NFL? Ready for a little shield action, Teak?
All right, let's do it.
Let's go. I'm going to go back-to-back unders. I've never done that. Lions are at the Jaguars. Now, the Lions are 1-3, Jaguars 1-4. It almost doesn't matter. What does matter is that both teams are in the bottom third in yards per play. That means it's going to take them a long time to get the 100 yards to get into the end zone. And when that happens, tick-tick, Berman, tick-tick, tick-tick, tick-tick. There are going to be a lot of stalled drives. There are going to be a lot of punts. Now, they're bad teams, so there might be some broken plays as well. But I look at the over-unders before I even look at the point spreads. I don't think I've ever said that. That's the first thing I look at. And that just seems a little high. I'm going under. South to 54 and a hook. Give me the under Lions and the Jaguars. Let's go. All right. Titans are good. Texans are not. Texans had a little energy because they have a new coach, and they couldn't stand their last one. That's why they got to win. They're not going to win this game. They're playing at Tennessee, and here's why they're not going to win. And it's a nominal lay, by the way. The number's 3.5 points. Yeah, maybe shave it down. Anytime you get three or inside, of course you do it, if you know what I mean. But the Texans are 31st in the NFL in run defense. They give up 160 yards a game. I mean, Derrick Henry. Look what he did to Josh Norman. He might pick up the entire defense and mush 11 guys at once. They can't stop the run if they know it's coming. With Tennessee, you know that it's coming. Lay the 3.5 points. Tannehill's playing out of his mind. Brown is back healthy. Just listen, they're a good, good team. Don't overthink this. Texans are not good. Tennessee minus 3.5. All right. Let's wet the whistle for a sec. Give me a minute. All right, you ready? Teak, I got you Giants on the board. Now, which way you think I'm going to go with your G-man? Am I going to go favorably or negatively? How am I feeling with
you're
the Giants?
You're going
this week?
Favorably. They scored 31 points last week.
Yes, I am going favorably. Giants laying 2.5 points. They host the Washington football team. Now, we've had Joe Judge on the show a few times. I've tweeted a few very complimentary things about Judge, even in this little, not little, they're 0-5, this the extended malaise to start the season. If Joe Judge doesn't, this is the kind of game that Joe has to win for Giant fans to say, all right, I know it's a rough year, but come on, you're supposed to win this game. And I think they're going to win. They showed a lot of spunk and a lot of heart, and more importantly, a lot of offensive proficiency against Dallas. They got hosed on that ridiculous illegal shift call, which would have been a great play on the fake field goal. They had another one taken back with Slayton. I'm not saying Giants are going to kill them. I'm not going to go that nuts because I don't know if they'll kill anybody. The Giants will get their first win of the season, take Big Blue, lay the 2.5. Giants win number one over Washington. Let's go. All right, the Bears, +1 in Carolina. Matt Rhule doing a great job. Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson, number one in Yak. Number one. Jets don't bring him back. He goes to Panthers. Now he's a legitimate number one receiver. It's amazing. The Panthers are pretty good. They're 3-2. The Bears are 4-1. Here's the difference. I'm taking the Bears. I like the Bears. I like this team. And I think what's happening now for Chicago is that they're transitioning. And I've used this expression before. They're going from hoping to win to expecting to win a little bit. There's a little, not arrogance, but a little confidence, a little conviction, a little belief. Now the Bears look around and say, yo, why can't we win 11 games? Why? We're a playoff team. Look at some of these bums around us in the NFC. Panthers are bums. They're actually a lot further ahead of schedule. I've got a lot of respect for their program. I want a Matt Rhule to coach my team or the Giants. I love that guy. But the Bears will win. Panthers will keep it tight. Bears getting a point? I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something here, but I'm going to take Chicago +1. All right, here's something that doesn't happen very often. The Browns winning in Pittsburgh. Not going to happen this week either. Baker's a little bit banged up. Happy Odell's COVID test came back negative. That's great. Browns are balling. Browns are a playoff team. I told you this in August. Tiki agreed. They're 4-1. Good for you. It ends this week. I'm going to take the Steelers, who are 4-0, and now they've got, you know, Claypool's on tape, and eventually Juju's going to pop. Their defense is terrific. And if Chubb's playing this game, I don't touch this game. I would not bet this game. I would not play this game. But I'm going to take the Steel Dogs, who I've ridden a few times this year, and they have actually treated me well. I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I'm going to lay the 3.5 points. I'm going to like it. I'm going to like it, and I like the way it feels. I like the way it sounds. Give me Pittsburgh. Nominal lay, 3.5. I know it's a divisional game. I get that. Give me Pittsburgh to cover and to win the game. All right. The team I don't mention anymore. That team, those losers, those pitiful, pathetic chumps that play in the stadium that Tiki's team plays in too. Oh, my God. They are 9.5-point dogs. You know what? They should be 30-point dogs because they can't do a damn thing right. They can't score. They can't stop you. Now they've got an embattled head coach who everybody wants gone, including me. And now they just had a guy. Whether or not Le'Veon Bell played well, he didn't because he wasn't used properly. But guys respect Le'Veon Bell because they grew up playing Madden. They're like, geez, you sent this guy packing. What the hell does it mean for my future of the team that I don't mention anymore? So they're going to get destroyed. They stink. Miami laid the 9.5 points easily. And how about this for the Dolphins' point of view? They are 8th in red zone touchdown efficiency rate. They get inside the red zone. They don't kick field goals. They score touchdowns. That's how you blow out a bad team. And that team that I root for, they're beyond bad. They're morbid. Take the Dolphins, lay the heavy stuff. All right, one more, Teague. Dallas, where's my wife, the Cowboys fan? Honey, I'm going to play Dallas. Tinky, you know me. Dallas hosting the Cardinals. It's a 1.5-point spread. Cowboys are favored. What do you think I'm going to do?
Take the Cowboys.
That's right. My partner knows me well.
I do.
I'm taking Dallas. You
Andy
know why?
Dalton's a vet.
There we go, brother. You nailed it. I've got a lot more respect for Andy Dalton than the dopes who try to, you know, marginalize a pretty damn good career. You got Gallup. You got Zeke. You got Lamb. You got Cooper. You got a win under your belt. You got some reps under your belt, so Andy Dalton shouldn't be rusty. I'm taking the Cowboys. Now, by the way, I do like the Cardinals, but Chandler Jones gone for the season. That's problematic. Andy Dalton doesn't move well, obviously. So without Chandler Jones, you know, wreaking further havoc on the pocket, he's not going to have to do things that makes Andy Dalton uncomfortable, all right? So I think Dallas gets the win, +1.5. I'm going to take Dallas. Again, I don't know, maybe like that Bears team, I'm kind of seeing something that's not there, but I'm taking Dallas. All right, here we go. In summation, the Pitt Panthers, +13.5. They will hang with, I don't know if they'll win, they will hang with Miami. They'll cover the number. Army, -7.5. Go out to San Antonio, whatever their nickname is. They'll beat them. UTSA, Army will win, and they'll win by 7.5. Lay it. Clemson at Georgia Tech. Oh, what time is it? Oh, we got a break soon. Over under 63.5. I'm going under in that game. I'm also going under Lions at the Jaguars. That number is 54.5. So I'm going to stay under back to back. Texans at the Titans. Give me Tennessee -3.5. They'll run roughshod on this defense. They can't stop anybody. Joe Judge gets his first W of the season. Giants -2.5. They'll beat Washington. Bears +1. They'll win straight up at Carolina. Give me the Steelers to win by more than 3.5. They'll host the Browns, and they'll get it done. The Miami Dolphins will whack that pitiful team that I root for. Lay as much as you have to. Whatever. 9.5. Swallow it. Dolphins win going away. And the Cowboys. Honey, you hear that? It'll be a good weekend in the house. Your Cowboys are going to win. Dallas +1.5. To beat the Cardinals. There it is, week 6. Obviously, I always tell you, be smart, be sensible, don't waste money you don't have. It's gambling for a reason. Not everybody's as good as I am at this, so if you try, you're probably going to lose your mortgage. I don't want to see that happen. And there it is, Teague. What do you think, buddy? You feeling a good week or what?
Good, man. Most of them I agree with.
Okay. All right. Well, that sometimes worries me.
Yeah, Miami, I'm not so sure about.
That's all right. You think that team that I root for covers?
No. It's college Miami.
Oh, I got you.
Pitt.
Okay, you think they lay on Pitt?
Yeah, I do.
We'll see. Okay, listen, you could be right, but you won't be. Let's get the update from Bob Huesler. Come back. I'll regain my normalcy, I think, at some point. We'll do Tiki and Tierney's week 6. Whip around. All the games I didn't touch here, we'll hit after Bob. Bob's update is right now. Okay, getting ready for week 6, Tiki and Tierney. Whip around here on CBS Sports Radio. See what's cooking there. Obviously hit all the games I didn't hit in sharp Tierney. But first up, it is time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And let's go with this one, see what's happening here, Teak. ATP, is this? Nelson in California. All right, the Rams are 4-1, and they take on the Niners. Are you buying the Rams as being a legit NFC contender or just a quick start? All right. Well, listen, I think I was a little wrong on the Rams. A little wrong, very much right on the 49ers. A little wrong on the Rams. They are playing some good football. They're starting to get some gash plays. So I think Teak agrees with me.
Yep.
You have to start looking at the Rams as a team that obviously gets respect, but also, you know, you start to say, well, this team could win 10, 11 yeah. games. Why not?
Jared Goff looks steady, man. You know, I thought, you know, he's a bust, and then Sean McVay makes him pretty good. They lead him to a Super Bowl, and it's like, oh, he's limited without the running game. And now it's like he's steady. He's riding this little roller coaster of perception.
Yep.
But he's actually playing some really good football.
I agree. They look pretty sharp. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Okay, Teak, you ready for a little whip around? See what we got?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's start bouncing.
The Cincinnati Bengals, the Indianapolis Colts.
Teague, let's face it. If Phillip Rivers can't get healthy against this porous Cincinnati defense, and if the Colts defense, and they will, get right up on Joe Burrow because the offensive line is really weak for the Bengals, then you might have some problems if Phillip Rivers can't start playing some good football against this Bengals team.
Yeah, I know that Frank Reich is trying to be kind to his quarterback, who maybe he's on the borderline of being a Hall of Famer. But he looks bad. He looks limited. And the Cincinnati Bengals are a team that's going to continually improve. They got a really good leader in Joe Burrow. Zach Taylor, who I had my doubts about as a head coach, he seems to be steadying a little bit. They have weapons offensively, and even though A.J. Green seems like he's an odd man out right now.
Although he said he wants to stay, but
he
I
does.
Hear you.
Yeah, but it just feels like, yeah. I mean, you said this last year, and they probably should have done it. They should have traded him. Last year before, I mean, because they're loaded with all the other, you know, skill position players. The Bengals aren't supposed to win this game. The Colts have to win this game.
Mm-hmm. And Phillip Rivers trying to tee us up so that when he does win, it's going to seem a little more impressive. Phillip Rivers saying, this team's no pushover, Cincy.
It's a good defense. You see each and every week there. I mean, they've been in every single game. And most teams are in this league. I mean, the separations of being, you know, 1-4 or whatever and being 3-2 isn't a whole lot, or being 5-0 and being 3-2, as we know. We're not far off from that outcome as well.
All right, moving on.
The Atlanta Falcons, the Minnesota Vikings.
Interesting take by Arthur Blank, the owner. He said, hey, whoever comes in here and is the GM and the head coach duo dynamic, you know, I'm not, and as I paraphrase, I'm not going to shove Matt Ryan down your throat if he's deemed not a piece of the puzzle to the future, then I'm okay with that. Falcons take it on the Vikes, and Matt Ryan says, despite the donut in the win column, there's no quit in this locker room.
We've got 11 ball games to go in this season, and we've got to find a way to get some wins and get back in the mix. And that's, you know, that's where our mindset has to be at. It has to be different, you know, from what everybody else is kind of talking about right now.
Teague, 0-6 versus 1-5. There's not much of a difference. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But if they win and they come into the building on Monday, how different is it, even though it's only a singular win?
I mean, winning feels so good, and it just makes you what you put in, the work, justified. And you know that that's what Raheem Morris, their interim head coach, that's what he's preaching right now. He's not talking about, let's make the playoffs, let's make this, you know, historic run. He's saying, let's win one game. Win one game and do it one at a time and see where it leads you once you get to the back end of the season. I agree with you. I don't think they're winning the division and not going to the postseason. Mm-hmm. But you got to feel good. Otherwise, apathy takes over and that place becomes miserable to go to.
Let's keep it moving.
The Denver Broncos, the New England Patriots.
A couple of terrific defensive minds. One whose job status has been discussed a little bit in Vic Fangio. And the other who's got a job for life seemingly with the Pats, and that's Bill Belichick. One thing Vic Fangio knows, Belichick just never makes it easy.
When you're coaching against Bill, who obviously is one of the best, if not the best head coaches the league has ever seen, it's always a challenge, and they do a great job there. They have a lot of continuity on their staff. You know, him and Josh McDaniels have been together for a long time. Josh does a great job with the offense. They have the added dimension this year of Cam Newton and the unique abilities that he has, and they've done a great job of incorporating that into their offense.
Teak, how rusty is Cam going to be?
I don't know if he's going to be rusty at all, to be honest with you. He had some rest. And you know, it's not like they're running this super complicated offense for him. He looks very comfortable in it. And, you know, the week off is never good, but I don't think it's going to hurt him at all. I think this game is, you know, it's all about the Patriots getting back on task and winning and finding a way to overcome that loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. But right now, you know, Cam is healthy. They're going to be much better.
All right, let's go.
The Baltimore Ravens, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, don't let the uneven performances fool you. John Harbaugh puts on the tape and he says, this Eagles offense, they're the real deal.
Big pass protecting offensive line, of course, Carson Wentz, you know. Plus, they use the running backs quite a bit in the pass game, and they're very adept at it. So it's a West Coast-style offense, similar to what you see in Kansas City. Of course, Coach Peterson and Coach Reed, you know, worked together for a long time. So we understand kind of how that system works a little bit and how challenging it can be to defend it.
Listen, T, nobody's going to run away with the NFC East. It's not going to be a 12-4 division winner, but one of these teams eventually, Dallas or Philly, is going to win a game they're not supposed to win. And then who knows what that does to propel the building. I don't think the Eagles will win, but, you know, I mean, if they ever pulled one off, that would be pretty good for them.
Look, they had a tough defense, and they're going to have tough defenses all year long, as are the Giants, because they're playing the AFC North. They played the Steelers last weekend and the Eagles, and they moved the ball pretty effectively, and it was a game. It wasn't foregone that the Steelers, who were one of the best teams in football, was going to beat them. So they have a fight in them, even though they're compromised. Lane Johnson's constantly beat up. They got injuries and young players starting on the offensive line. But Carson Wentz is—he's good, and when he's feeling confident and feeling himself, you can tell that they're going to play. They're going to have a challenge against Baltimore's defense, which is one of the best in football, also, and stopping Lamar Jackson is obviously their biggest concern. But Philly's not going to just fall over because the Ravens are, you know, the better team.
Yep, they hung with the Steelers as we mentioned for sure. And if that game could be good, this game could be great.
The Green Bay Packers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Brady and Rodgers, and Brady knows we better be buttoned up. This Packer team can play.
When you play against another great quarterback, you know that team's going to be, you know, those are the tough teams to beat because they're prepared. You know, they're going to play well on offense. They've got very talented defense. It just means you can't make a lot of mistakes.
All right, Teague, so that's how we started the show today. Mm-hmm. Savor these showdowns. They don't come around every Sunday in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I think that's what you take away from this weekend. The Packers are on fire. They're playing good defense as well. Aaron Jones is good. Aaron Rodgers is good. You know, but the Buccaneers have Tom Brady. And Tom Brady always finds a way to do something special. And he's having a pretty good season. And it looks like this receiving core is mm-hmm. getting healthy for him in Tampa.
All right, there it is. Week 6, Tiki and Tierney NFL whip around. Tiki is getting ready to bust to Newark. And I imagine it's Newark. It's got to be Newark,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely Newark.
Hop on a flight, get down for a little Georgia, Alabama. Have a safe trip. Maybe this is the third year in a row that I've asked you. Maybe you bring back that Alabama shirt that I've been waiting for.
I don't know if
XL,
any of this,
black.
I definitely don't know if any of the stores are open, you know, this weekend. nothing's open. But there will be fans, though. There obviously are fans down there.
Take one from a fan.
Yeah, right. Hey, can I borrow that real quick? I'll give it back to you.
What was the excuse when there was no pandemic the last couple of years, though?
Chaos is okay. What it was.
Oh, that is true.
I'm telling you. Those games are – because the ones I were doing were like the Iron Bowl and Alabama, LSU. I mean, they were some crazy games. It had some, you know, emotional endings to them. So.
Oh, that LSU-Alabama game you did last year was insane.
That was great. Felt like it was over until Devontae Smith had a 70-yard touchdown.
Yep.
Like, wait a second. Hold on. Yeah, we need an onside kick. We got a game here.
I was in the car coming back from doing a St. John's game, and I was listening to you, and it was crazy. Have a great call, partner. Enjoy yourself, man.
Thank you. See you on the flip side.
You got it, my man. Tiki, have a great weekend. Everybody out there, have an outstanding weekend. Enjoy the college football. Enjoy the NFL football. Enjoy your family. Have a great time. Safe, sensible, sane. Mask up. I'm not here to preach, but mask up. We're not out of it. And we'll catch you Monday. Check on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney Sharp Tierney Picks. We'll see you Monday. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.